Welcome to the Language is Music podcast. On this podcast, you will hear interviews and presentations done by Susanna Zreisky, the author of Language is Music. You can find out more information about Language is Music and about how you can learn foreign languages using music and the media at Susanna's website, languageismusic.com, www.languageismusic.com. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
I have in front of me a slender volume called Language is Music, over 70 fun and easy tips to learn foreign languages. And I'm joined by the author, Susanna Zreisky. Susanna, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Susanna's family moved from the then Soviet Union, from Russia, to the United States in 1980. So as a small child, you were about 3 years old when you immigrated.
Correct.
You were speaking Russian, but I assume you picked up English pretty fast?
Yeah, well, because I went to an American preschool. But actually, my mother taught me how to read and write in Russian before I entered kindergarten, before I learned how to read and write in English.
Wow. Your mother was really... That's like 4 years old, 3 years old?
Well, I started kindergarten when I was five, so before then, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it's a different alphabet. It's Cyrillic.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes when I'm writing in Cyrillic, if I don't write in it for a long time, I kind of confuse the letters because they're similar letters in the Latin alphabet as in the Cyrillic alphabet, but they actually have different sounds.
Well, they also have Greek letters,
mm-hmm.
and I'm remembering the Soviet Union was the CCCP.
Yes.
And Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and the P is an R.
Correct.
And the C is an S.
Correct.
I remember restaurant, if you just looked at it and assumed it was a Latin alphabet, would be like pectopaw or something like that.
Exactly.
Restaurant is pectopaw, but yeah. It's actually pronounced restaurant. It's the same word. It's
right.
The French word, right?
Restaurant. Mm-hmm.
So you've got a theory about learning languages that says that memorizing vocabulary words and conjugating verbs is so boring and so uninteresting that people give up before they ever understand really the pleasure of speaking a different language.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, when we're babies, we listen to our mother tongue for a year before we start speaking. So our ears have to get used to the sounds of the language. And then when we start speaking, we don't have an accent. We may sound funny because we're not putting the words together correctly. So when we're adults and we go to a school, where, you know, the teacher shoves a language table, a conjugation table in front of us and vocabulary words, and we start regurgitating the words that the teacher gives us on the first day. The problem with that is that we don't know the right pronunciation, so we're copying the pronunciation of our teacher. And if we've never heard these sounds before, like the Spanish R, for example, we're not going to pronounce it right. And if our teacher has an accent, we're then copying the bad accent of our teacher. So later on, once we've learned some vocabulary, we have to basically rewind and correct our pronunciation. So we're doing it completely wrong. We should start by learning the sounds of the language and have it be fun, like when we're kids and we learn songs. And then you get the vocabulary and the grammar through the music, through the media.
Music, actually listening to songs is what you're advocating?
At the beginning, at least, because your ears... Okay, there's a theory by Alfred Tomatis, who was an ear doctor from France. He wanted to understand why people have accents. And his theory was that people have accents because they don't hear the sounds correctly. He said you can't reproduce a sound you don't hear, which makes a lot of sense. So at the beginning, our ears need to get used to the range of frequency of each sound, of each language, because each language has its own sounds. So that's how we start, by getting our ears used to it. And then, you know, we start singing the songs, because, you know, you can start listening to canto pop, you know, Cantonese pop music. I don't think it's very good, but you could listen to it and you'll start singing along in Cantonese because your ear, you know, you get, it's fun for you. And then you go back and you're like, okay, what are all these words in the song? And you learn the words.
Well, I took French in high school. I took one semester of German in college, and I found it so hard that I immediately changed my major so that I wouldn't have to take a foreign language. So one semester of German. And then I've got Italian relatives who I visit and leech off of as often as possible. So I'm around Italian. And of course, here in California, we're all around Spanish a lot. And I've absolutely not learned any of these languages. So I've always presumed it was laziness on my part, and that if I just really knuckled down and grit my teeth, I could do it. So you agree with that or not?
I do. I think that one of the phenomenons that we see here in California is that we are surrounded by Spanish, and so many Californians don't speak Spanish, or if they want to learn Spanish, they go to Costa Rica for some intensive class and pay thousands of dollars. Whereas if you go to other parts of the world where they have little contact with English speakers, they're watching a lot of media, American media, British media, TV, radio, whatever. And they're learning words and they're learning a lot of the accent because they're actually paying attention. I think one of the problems in California is that a lot of people are not paying attention to the Spanish that's around them. It's just this background noise. And you actually have to start paying attention. Watch the news in Spanish. Listen to music in Spanish. Listen to the news in Spanish. Go do your grocery shopping in the Mexican corner stores and practice, even if you sound like Tarzan at the beginning. And I think that you really have to put yourself into the language because it has to be part of your everyday life, not just a class you take in the evening where you're memorizing conjugation tables.
So immersion, it sounds like, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Now, you not only speak Russian and English, but you also speak Spanish, French, Italian. What am I leaving out?
Portuguese and Serbo-Croatian.
Portuguese and Serbo-Croatian. Well, Italian seems easier to me because it seems so phonetic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at an Italian word, I can understand. I don't know what it means, but I can pronounce it usually because it is very phonetic. Spanish is phonetic also.
Correct.
French is harder because French leaves out the last vowel or consonant a lot.
Half of what you see in a French word you don't pronounce.
I know. That's what's the problem with French.
Mm-hmm.
So did you immerse yourself in each of these languages one at a time, or did you, it was all part of a mix, or what?
It depends. French I started learning in middle school and then high school, and then when I was a sophomore in high school, I was a foreign exchange student for 2 months in France, and I was living in a French family, went to a French school, and after 2 months, I was completely fluent, and I had no accent at all. I had a perfect accent. That was when I was 15, so I came, and then there I started taking Spanish, and then when I came back to the States for about a year, I didn't take any Spanish, and then my last year of high school, I took Spanish. Then Italian, I took one semester of grammar here at Berkeley,
mm-hmm.
and then my last then one more semester, I was taking literature. And then Portuguese, I taught to myself, actually, using a book called Brazilian Portuguese for Spanish Speakers. And then I took some classes at the adult school in Piedmont. And Serbo-Croatian, I lived in Bosnia. So that's how I learned the language. And I learned a lot there by the media.
And Serbo-Croatian is a Slavic language, so the Russian that you had helped you out with that.
Correct, correct. I also studied Hebrew, Arabic, and Hungarian, but I don't speak them anymore.
Yeah. Your mind must be just full of all these things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of confusing. I was in Macedonia in March. I was there as an election observer, and Macedonian is very similar to Serbo-Croatian. They were all part of former Yugoslavia. And I hadn't spoken much Serbo-Croatian in about 8 years. And there, I was like in this nostalgia because they were speaking to me in Macedonian, and I was responding in Serbo-Croatian, and my mind was quite, kind of confused.
Grammar. Italian grammar, which I don't understand at all, is supposed to be very complicated, much more so. In fact, my Italian cousins say that English is so much easier than Italian because of, I think, I don't know if it's that there are fewer tenses or the subjunctive and all that stuff. When you say subjunctive and my eyes roll, I don't even know what you're talking about.
It is a very difficult thing, and actually I'll give you a good example about the subjunctive, and I'll start with Spanish. I learned the subjunctive first in French, and the subjunctive in Spanish is even more complicated. In Portuguese, it's even more complicated. And Italian, I think the subjunctive is more complicated than in French. So when I was learning it in Spanish, one of the ways I remembered one of the conjugations was actually from a song, Bésame Mucho.
Of course.
Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. And in
what a voice. That's incredible. What a voice.
Thank you. So in the song, the person is saying, kiss me as though tonight were the last night, as though tonight were. That's the subjunctive.
So it expressed doubt.
It expresses doubt. So I remembered, oh, that's how you conjugate the subjunctive in Spanish, because I knew the song Bésame Mucho before I learned the subjunctive. So that's another way that music helps, because music engages more parts of the brain than language does. So if you remember something to a song like the ABCs, or for me, the subjunctive with Bésame Mucho, you're more likely to remember it than if you're memorizing a conjugation table.
Well, those conjugation tables were just absolutely, it was mind-boggling. I noticed that German was not on your list.
No.
You don't want to go there.
No, I'm so sensitive to sound, and the sounds of German do not leave me wanting to learn it.
Uh-huh. God. Die eine ist eine geborene Müller, der andere eine ist geborene Schmidt. I had to memorize these things.
What was that?
The first woman's maiden name is Mueller. The second woman's maiden name is Schmidt.
Oh, that sounds really fun to memorize.
Well, it's one of the things that that stuck, but that's about it. That's all I remember. So do you actually engage in teaching people languages, or this book is your first step in the direction of popularizing your ideas?
It is my first step. I have worked as an ESL teacher in San Francisco. I also did that in Argentina, and I work as a substitute teacher in the Cupertino School District. So when I am in a language classroom, I do talk to the kids about it. But I have given presentations about the book at Stanford, at Berkeley, to the Defense Department, to the State Department, because the State Department is going to buy the book next year to use it to train diplomats to learn languages.
Well, I know I do have a different cousin, not an Italian one, who works for the U.S. government currently, actually, in the Rome Embassy. And they do a real intensive language course for people, because it is obvious that if you're representing the United States in a non-English speaking country, you need to speak the local language.
Yeah, and actually diplomats, if they don't pass a certain level of the language, they get kicked out of the Foreign Service.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What language are you thinking about next?
You know, I've intellectually been interested in Arabic, and I started learning Arabic about 6 years ago. But right now, my focus is actually promoting the book, because I figure I could have so much more of an impact on the world by helping other people learn languages than if I dedicate a lot of time to one language. So that's my focus.
Now, there are particular websites that you think are helpful as well.
Yeah, the book has about 60 websites of either places where people can find movie scripts, song lyrics, or there are different companies that do programs using music and media that I recommend. And there, for example, I also recommend companies that have books in both languages. You know, another really great thing for people to do if they have kids is to use Sesame Street, because Sesame Street exists in many different languages, from like Bengali to Spanish to Arabic. And if parents want their kids to learn Spanish, for example, they can have them listen to Plaza Sesamo, and then the parents are learning in the whole process.
Is that on the internet, or where do you get it?
Yeah, you can. I think you can order it on the internet. Just, I think it's sesamestreet.org or sesamestreet.com, and people can order the different languages.
So they get the DVDs in the mail, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, there's another program called Rosetta Stone, which is teaches many different languages. It costs real money. It's not cheap.
Yes.
What do you think of Rosetta Stone?
You know, a lot of people ask me that. I've never used it, and I personally would not want to be learning a language by staring in front of a computer several hours a day or an hour a day. And I know Rosetta Stone is computer-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I would prefer to incorporate the language in all parts of my life rather than making myself look at a computer screen. I live in Silicon Valley, so I see computer screens all the time. I don't want to do that to learn a language.
So you mentioned that you have also been an ESL speaker. What are the most difficult things about English?
The phrasal verbs that we have, like catch up, catch on, you know, all the ones that have like a preposition afterwards. A lot of people have trouble with that.
Oh, prepositions are hard in general.
Yeah, they're hard in general. Talk and speak. People have trouble differentiating between tell and say, talk and speak, those words. Also, you know, we have an R in English, which some people don't hear. and the H. Like the French have trouble pronouncing the H in English because it's such a high frequency sound that they almost don't hear it when we use it. Like here, they'll say ear. They barely hear the H. Like the Japanese have trouble with the R's and the L's in English. Another thing is that we have different past tenses. We have I spoke, I had spoken, I have spoken. Some people have, depending on which language they're coming from, they have trouble differentiating between all the different past tenses.
But the Romance languages have all of those different tenses, don't they?
They do, but the French don't have, they don't use the past perfect in the same way that we do. So
I'm cringing.
Difficult.
What is the past perfect?
I had spoken, or I forget, it's either I had spoken or I have spoken. One of those is the past perfect. I can't remember which one.
And what is it? I get back to the subjunctive, if I were a rich man.
Yeah, there you go, Fiddler on the Roof.
It's if I were, and but if it were, what's the opposite of subjunctive? Indicative?
Indicative, yes.
Yeah, it's I was, it wouldn't be I were.
Exactly.
So if I were, and then
if I were a rich man, da na 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 na.
Oh, I really am inspired. I'm not sure I'm going to sit down and learn Italian tomorrow, but I do think that this is a great idea. Again, the name of the book is Language is Music, over 70 fun and easy tips to learn foreign languages. And my guest is Susanna Zareisky. The book is available everywhere?
Yeah, people can order it online on my website, languagesmusic.com. They can order it at their bookstores or on Amazon or Borders.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I want to thank you for coming up from San Jose today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Language is Music podcast. You can find out more information about learning languages through music at languagesmusic.com.